contadas. Entre 30 minutos e 6 são mais a enfermidades a enfrentar em relação a você e a sua casa. Em relação a também o próprio filme, onde sei que ele fechou o vídeo no primeiro caso. Que não é antes. Many years ago. It was a very same masjid which I used to sit as a Musalli here. And I used to take benefit from our Augustus Imam of Jerusalem, the Caesar. And he made it easy for us to show us the path on how to live our lives in Deen. When we look at a farmer, especially a sheep farmer, many a times he has a problem on his farm when he may have a loud whistle, a loud sound, or some animal or so may, a wolf or so may come around, and the sheep in the farm, they get scattered and they start running away in all different directions. And they all become like lost sheep. And the poor shepherd, this task is so difficult for him. He's got to find the lost sheep, gather them, bring them together. So he has the good fortune of having sheep dogs, as we all know, that go around gathering the sheep, bringing them together again. And others may also have been on horseback, gathering the sheep, bringing them together. So this is exactly my condition. I made that lost sheep. We don't know anything about Deen. We learned a little in Madrasa and things, but we don't know, we're lost. We don't know how to switch the correct direction, where to go, what to do. So I got lost. And we try to find our way to get to our destination, to get together and be at peace then. Coming to the Quranic ayat which we read, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Jannah for everybody. And that person who will get this Jannah is that person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he has purified and cleansed his heart. And he cleanses his heart correctly, completely, and then he will get his Jannah accordingly. And that person who did not do this, then he is at the loss of his destruction. And this heart is such an important, integral part of the body that it guides and it leads this entire body. It leads this body into doing that which is right or to doing that which is wrong. And if it is purified properly, then it will do what that which is right. And that which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Looking at how important this heart is, we learned from our illustrious Mufti Abu Samad the Saisab in those days. Many times he mentioned many stories to us in his bayanas. And one story which he did mention to us, it was about a prince. This prince, on one day he went out hunting. So when he was gone out hunting, he happened to lose track of himself, of where he was going, and he got lost. And he ended up somewhere where he didn't know where he was. He came to a village. In this village he met with the people didn't know who he was. But the hospitality of the people knew no limits. They welcomed him, gave him to eat, gave him food, made him comfortable, let him take rest. And while he was there, he notices there was an elderly man who had not joined all the people who were hosting him at the time. And he sees this elderly man out in the field and he's busy planting trees. So he approaches this old man and he asks him, what is happening? So the old man says, no, I'm planting trees. And I hope that these trees will grow and we will get fruit from it and can take benefit from it. So, the prince looks at him and says, but you're an old man. And I'm like, now John's what people say. This is such an old man, he's got one foot in the grave already. So you're an old man. Why are you wasting your time on this one? You're not going to take benefit of it. Why you waste your time? So the old man says, you see all the other trees over here? These are our forefathers planted. They planted these trees. Maybe they didn't take benefit from it. But we took benefit. We enjoyed the fruit. We enjoyed all the flowers. We enjoyed everything from these trees because of their actions of what they did. So hopefully, if I plant these trees, if I don't take benefit, then at least my offspring will take benefit. My children, my grandchildren, etc. will take benefit. They'll benefit from these trees. Who knows? Maybe even I will benefit from these trees, he says. So the prince says, if you have to benefit from these trees, then definitely my wife is divorced. If you benefit from these trees, then my wife is divorced. This is what the prince says. So the old man marked the words, remembered it. Anyway, they showed the prince off, carried him back onto his boat, showed him his path, and sent him away. He went away. This prince, many years later, happened to pass this very same village again, not knowing where he was going, but he ended up over here at his village. But now he was not the prince. He was now the king. He was now the king. So, he comes to this village, his people again show him the hospitality. They feed him, they comfort him, they give him rest, etc. But while they are there feeding him, he sees this old man over there. And this old man, he's feeding his fruit, but he himself is not eating. So this king now, very perturbed, now, what's his action? Why are you not eating? So he goes up to this king, to this old man, and he asks this old man, what's the story? Everybody's eating, everybody's enjoying. Why are you not eating from this fruit? So the old man, he says, you know, many years ago, a prince came to our town. A man came to our town. And when he came here, I was planting these trees. And I mentioned to him that, no, I may take benefit from these trees. So he said, no. If you take benefit from these trees, then definitely my wife will be divorced. And that was the prince. Now the prince may have become the king now. Right now. And if I am to eat from this, what is going to be the condition of the king? The king won't know it. He will be totally unaware. His wife will be divorced. He will be living in zina. His offspring will be all illegitimate. How much of a facade will be caused because of this, if I eat fruit from these trees? So I'd rather stay away from it. I'd rather not eat this fruit. So that the people will be saved. The king will not be in denial, and we will not be having a corrupt person ruling us. The prince was astonished, and he says, no, I was the prince. And this is the words mentioned to me. Now he looked at the wisdom of this old man, and he says, you know, I want you to become my minister. The advices that you give are very, very valuable. You become my minister. So this old man says, no, I can't become your minister. I am not a Muslim. It won't be appropriate for me to come and give you advice. How are you going to rule as a Muslim if you're taking advice from a non-Muslim? So he was wearing a dab, the dab of his religion. So he broke off this girdle and this garb which he was wearing, he threw it aside, and he accepted Islam. And then he accepted to become the minister of this king. So look at this importance of how important it is for the head, for the most important, the crucial part of any fraternity, to be pure and clean and correct. So likewise, similarly, Our bodies, our soul, our hearts needs to be correct and clean as well. In another story that was mentioned about a king. This king one day happened to go out hunting, and he came to a farm. At this farm, when he came, the people that the farm even hosted him, welcomed him, kept him well, looked out for his needs, etc. And they presented pomegranates to him, not knowing that he is a king. And he squeezed out pomegranate juice from the pomegranate and to give him to drink. But there was so much abundance in this that they squeezed one pomegranate and two glasses of pomegranate juice came out. The king was surprised. These people, so much they got. How much of money they must be making? How much money I can take from them? If I charge them more taxes, I get so much more. That's the intention that came in his heart. The intention of a person is so important. So, anyway, he told him to squeeze some more pomegranates. So when they squeezed some more pomegranates, from now instead of two glasses of juice coming out, only half a glass came out from two pomegranates. So what happened? Immediately, because of the change of the intention of the king, the abundance went up. So the people says, well, it looks like the intention of the king has changed. The intention of the king has changed, so the abundance has gone. The king, without saying anything, he changed his intention immediately, and he says, no, I'm not going to take any more jewels. No, I'm not going to take any extra taxes from these people. So he took his squeeze and some more juice now. Now he squeezed again, from one pomegranate, two glasses of juice came out. This is how important our intention is. How important does that explain to us? How many times that when we do something, have the correct intention. When we sit and read Quran, make intentions. It says the brilliance of all the Busugan Adin is that before making any amal, they make intentions. They correct intentions and they make many intentions for reading Quran. If they read Salah, they read Salah with all different intentions. When they do the actions, they read with all the intentions, with the correct intentions. Last night we explained the intentions of going to sleep. Do it with the correct intentions, how much more you can benefit. So much more you benefit you will receive. So again, coming back to it, that our hearts, we look at it, you know, there's so much of corruption, so much of evil, so much of vice, so much of wrongs. How many we are full with so much of evil, jealousy, hatred, malice, enmity, deceit. All this is full in our hearts. So the ayat, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّرَهَا. Successful, indeed, very successful is the one, مَنْ زَكَّرَهَا, who cleans and purifies the heart. We need to purify our hearts, clean our hearts, make correct intentions, and clean ourselves. But obviously we need some kind of direction, how to do this. So it's very simple. Very, very simple. We can take the easy route and we can take the hard route. We can take the easy route and we can take the hard route. The choice is ours. Let me explain the hard route first. If you look at a farmer who's got a large farm, extremely large farm, and on the farm he has grass growing there, he has weeds on the farm, there's rocks and there's so many different other things over there that's making it difficult for him to cultivate his farm. So he can very simply take a lawnmower, take a sickle, or take a slasher and start cutting the grass from one side. A large farm, how long does it take to cut from one end to the other end? So he starts cutting from one side and is moving on, going down, half the farm is covered. He looks back and he sees the grass is just as long as it even started. Because the amount of effort he's putting, what is he getting? He's cutting off all the weeds and all the long grass. But it's still growing on behind him. So he's never going to finish his work. So this is the difficult thing. In our heart, we have all these enmities and jealousy and hatred, all these diseases within us. If we try to cleanse ourselves by taking one of our diseases out of our heart, before we can cleanse our heart, or before we can get anywhere with some kind of purity towards our heart, there's other diseases that are coming back to us. Or the very same old diseases and all maladies are still growing back in us. We can't cleanse ourselves. Like Hazrat Mustafa just mentioned just now. The very easy way, second route, the easy method, is to bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into us. It's to bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into us. And when that comes into us, then we know very, very sure, very, very certain, that if you have a glass of pure milk, and you put some urine inside there, then that milk is going to be filthy. You cannot join the two, you cannot put the two together. Because if you put a little bit of impurity inside there, it's still being pure. So, the pureness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our hearts. And automatically comes in, that filth that is there cannot remain. It has to come out. And automatically when the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our hearts, all the dirt, the filth, the maladies, all will come out. Very, very simple, very, very easy. But, with all this, like I mentioned at the beginning, we all lost sheep. We all lost sheep. We need to be gathered. And, like I said, sheep dogs gather the sheep. Horsemen and horses go around gathering the sheep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for easy for each and every one of us. When we come for Jummah Salah and come and sit in the masjid, and we listen to the Imam giving us the khutbah, giving us the bayan, talking to us, if you sit here with that correct intention, to take lessons, to make amal on what is being said, they're very, very simple, very difficult, very, very easy. It will be easy for these horsemen, it will be easy for these sheepdogs to gather this lost sheep and bring them together. Very, very simple. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, alhamdulillah, has done that for us. But that was not enough. Because the lost sheep will only be found when they come to the shepherd. And the shepherd can then bag them and keep them to take them to their destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that even easy for us. Grab hold of your shepherd. Grab hold of your shepherd. Your shepherd is your shepherd. The one that you take bayat to. And if you grab hold to him, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to go out to the path. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put many, many shepherds out there for us. Has made many, many of them out there for us. All of us, the Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it easy for us, many of us, to find him. He has gathered us and brought us to him. We have found our shepherd. Let us take the benefit from the shepherd and let us get to our destination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for all of us.
This is actually what is the tasawwuf, that how an effort can be made on behalf of a person. In the beginning, Maulana had quoted the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that in the body is a piece of flesh. If this piece of flesh is corrected, then the entire body of a person is corrected. And if this piece of flesh is corrupt, then we find the entire body of a person is thereafter corrupt. Here ulama have written to such an extent that in Jannati, when you will enter into Jannat, then in Jannat the ni'mat and the bounty of Jannat, on what account does a person get? On the heart. Wherever he's sitting, he just makes the meal, I want to eat this fruit, the fruit is brought before him. A person wants to eat fish, however his heart desires, he wants it baked, it will be brought before him. If he wants it in a honey form, it will be brought before him. So the ni'mat of Jannat also, this is on the heart and the niyat of a person. So therefore, this effort of the soul is also that how can we correct his heart and we can enjoy his very bounties of Jannat. Inshallah, next we will have a bayan by Mulana Zahid Karodia, who is from Ganesha and is also a Khalifa of our Hazrat Ramadhan. interfere with the rewarding system.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغوا عني ولو آية صدق الله مولانا العظيم. And our scholars, respected elders and friends, we give shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given us an opportunity, number one, to be from among the human beings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that He made us from our own ashraful makhluqat, the best of creations. Further than that, we have been so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us iman, and one further than that, Allah Ta'ala has placed us within the confines of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even more than that, if we look at currently where we all are, that each and every single one of us, if by virtue of some good, by virtue of some dua, of some person, or something which Allah Ta'ala has liked within our own hearts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that opportunity to come into that type of gathering where we are able to acquire the nisbat or the friendship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Ustaz Hazrat Mufti Razaul Haqsa very often used to mention that Jadid science, that modern science that has come into the world, this has come actually to prove deen. This has come to prove that after 1400 years in a modern technological society that has progressed in so many different ways, that 1400 years ago, that the unlettered prophet or Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who resided in the rugged hills of Bertha, that particular person had such knowledge that it was actually impossible for him to have acquired this knowledge via some technological age or via some only or some intelligentsia of the day or some persons. This had definitely had to stem from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we sit here, with regards to the saying of what Hazrat Mufti Sahib mentioned to us, that the proof of deen, or what we can say that modern science has come to prepare or to prove deen, in our time we see that if a person goes to a medical practitioner, a doctor, and he's got some trouble or some difficulty, then the doctor will measure his pressure. Then if he uses a thermometer, he's able to tell the temperature of the pressure in his body. If there is an earthquake, then you utilize a Richter scale, which will tell you the strength of the earthquake. And like that, even if a person looks in his car, at his temperature, at his pressure, at the first time pressure, or a person's petrol, everything is measuring. Now the question we need to ask ourselves, respected elders and friends, and this is actually the real reason why each and every single one of us has come into this gathering, has forward ourselves, and what is our ta'amul. Do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yes, we've heard of Allah ta'ala. In Quran Kareem, in many tafaseer, every single ayat of Quran Kareem is actually a means of what we call a person to link with Allah ta'ala. And when is the greatest moment of link? That in life there are many different occasions. Like for example this weekend, it might have been fervoring, it might have been echoing through different windows and different homes that a great personality, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib and certain friends of his, that people will be coming to sit and sit and enjoy his company. But the real reality is that what is the meaning of this word? What is the essence of Hazrat Maulana? Really a big word, many people will say that this is a saint, this is a person who is a great personality. Often we see when the chef is walking, people are just jumping to put his shoes on before people want to sit down to eat or partake from their meals. That prior to their, the chef sitting down, they would not sit down. And every you see that people with so much of respect, the chef has drank from the glass. Now we find a person that's after him, that person would also like to partake from that. From one sense we could very easily understand is that if a person gets married to a girl who is newly wed, or a person has fallen in love with a particular person, and Hazrat Hakim Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, our Dada Sheikh, used to always give beautiful examples of Mir Sahib, that when Mir Sahib firstly got married, that when his wife would make just an oo or an ah, then immediately he wanted to phone the doctor, immediately he wanted to take her to a medical practitioner, even if she just sneezed, let me take you to the hospital, let me take you to the intensive care unit. This was what we call the love. Today, if we have that love for our wives, that every single minute that we have, we will be in service. But what is it that dictates of love? And when we see even a young boy, when he falls in love with a girl that is out of wedlock, that is not correct, but just by way of example for us to understand, the young boy, what we say, the cupid struck the heart. So immediately on looking at this girl, he's gone what we call hayran, he's gone crazy, he's gone mad, he's gone down the river to buy a bouquet of flowers, he's gone to buy some Ferrero Rocher chocolates, he's phoning, he's continuously chasing after us, but this is something that has struck within the heart of this person. I hope it strikes our hearts when you see our wives. One is, they say, is a honeymoon. For a little while the honey is on the moon and they return home. Like Hazrat was saying yesterday, after 6 months the cats and dogs, Fatima and Muhammad, they fighting. But for us, just to carry on or to understand the little point, is that why have we actually come to respect the letters and friends? To understand the love of Allah Ta'ala. The love of a human being we've understood. Look for a simple example. The other day I was driving down the road, so at the traffic light, the youngster picked up on the beautiful new model of a BMW. So everybody's eyes, every youth is focused on this person. Next to him, there's possibly another youngster, and he came with a slightly older version of the BMW. The person with the older model picked up first. After him, the person with the newer model picked up. So obviously when the older model came, everybody looked at it, gaping, staring, desiring, looking at it, and then next to him is a person who came with a newer model. It just occurred to me at that particular point, the person who came past in a bicycle, that what we call from an accounting point of view, that the man on a bicycle is most probably in a better financial position than both of them. But actually our gaze, unfortunately, is on the person who's in a bigger problem. He's in a bigger debt, but our gaze is on him. And let alone that, I was driving past the same dealership, the BMW Mercedes dealership the other day, and many people, before I got home, proceeded to the masjid, that there was a beautiful, looked like a car, obviously wrapped around in a nice sheet, and everybody was gathered together there. But obviously, I got a friend who works in that particular place, who told me, he said, not one motor vehicle here is bought on cash. Everything is bought on credit. So really, if we ask what our perceptions is, what our hearts being motivated towards, this is a question that we have to ask ourselves. And respected elders and friends, going back to this particular thing, what we're discussing is this term, what we call Hazrat Maulana, that these are people, if we just look a little back and tap into the history of time, that before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received Nubuwwah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit in a cave of Hira, and for many days Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sit in what we call Muraqabah. He would sit and he would meditate and think about the Qudrat and the wonders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam, the common story we know, that when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Iqra, do it and read. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma'an al Prophet. He said, I cannot read, I'm unlettered. And then we understand from the skill and the science of the hadith that we are taught that a heart that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam made mu'allaqa and he held Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam close. On that time of holding, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was transferred with a nur that was given from Allah ta'ala to Jibreel Amin, and that nur was thereafter transferred into the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this happened 2 or 3 times. Thereafter, the heart and the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so much filled with his love that he was able now to propel himself. So in the 2 simple examples which we understood, one is a young boy that becomes infatuated with that girl. When he gets struck with his love, he makes all our efforts to make that thing happen or for it to procure. Likewise, the young boy who's stuck in the infatuation of that car, he'll beg his father, he'll dream about the car, he'll put a picture on his wall, he'll put a motorbike in his car, whatever it is, but the desire to have that car, he'll think about it in his sleep, you can go and to a motorsport shop and you go and look at all the various accessories that the person can place in that car. And so much so, unfortunately, as adults, if we see that even the child has purchased that car on credit, that is not his car, but we'll call all the family members that come together and come and see what my son has purchased. And they will go in their homes and they will also further speak about it. However, just not to digress too much, just to come back to our point, in the term of Hazrat Maulana, that we see that the nur that was transferred from Allah Ta'ala, thereafter it was given to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then the Sahaba received it. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu received it, and that was the actual nur that we see that until the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah it will be passed. How do we understand this? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us that every day in Salat that we ask him, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, we say, O Allah, that grant us guidance. O Allah Ta'ala, grant us that guidance, and it is explained in the hadith, Minan Nabiyyi wa Siddiqin wa Shuhadai wa Salihin, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Ladin amanta alayhim. That give us guidance, and what type of guidance? That guidance that has been given to those who have earned your favor, those that have pleased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And thus in the hadith is, min al-Nabiyyin, we understand the prophets are not with us. Then was Siddiqeen. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wasn't called Abu Bakr Mujahid, he wasn't called Abu Bakr Hafiz, neither was he called Abu Bakr Alim, but what was he called? Abu Bakr Siddiq. So the first rank that we find after the prophets is the rank of what we call the Siddiqeen, respected and reverenced. And this is where a person moves in towards that direction and where he cleans his heart. Hazrat Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Dama Barakatuh is given, Rahmatullah Alayhi is given a very beautiful example, just to very understand that there are certain seeds, and within the seeds there's a little bit of oil. But what people generally do is that they polish the seed. As the seed is polished, it comes to a point that the outer shell, it withers away, and only what is contained is a membrane. And after this reaches this point, if that seed is placed in this company or in the sohbet, or it is put together with any fragranted or scented item, then that oil, the oil which is contained within that seed, because only that exists is a membrane, it sucks in that beautiful fragrance. So now that seed is not an ordinary seed. It is something that when it is placed anywhere, it is placed alone, it is taken out of the company of that fragranted items, then that item bears a very, very beautiful scent wherever it goes. So when this process is taken, respected elders and friends, when a person polishes his heart, when a person cleanses one's heart, then this person's heart starts to become now recipient to the nur and the love of Allah. As Rasha Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to very commonly say that we see that in our time, don't think that there's no Junaid Baghdadi, don't think that Baba Khalilul Attar and great awliya of Allah Ta'ala are not present. The reality is, unfortunately, that like that seed that it's got that covering on the outside, our hearts have become like that. So even when we come into the gatherings of the pious, Na'uzubillah, may Allah Ta'ala save us, that we fall into criticisms of these people. The great sage, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Muhammadullah Ali, prior to him being a recipient of the nur of the leaf, it is written in his life story that he was a saint of the time, that which any person who gazed at him, the eyes would just get lost into the just get lost into this person. So we find that, as on our topic, that what is the whole term of what we call in Hazrat Maulana, that everybody has been preparing. Maulana is that person, respected elders and friends, who Allah Ta'ala has placed within the chest. He is a holder of the nur of Allah Ta'ala. So when you see people who are walking behind the shoes of the Shaykh, they are walking with humility. When the Sahaba Ikram was sent to them, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent to them, they were not believers. So they told him, he said, what is this? Mahala, I said, this Hada Basharu Mithluna, this is just a ordinary human being like us. But we see Hazrat Maulana is just a normal person like us. He's got two legs, he's got two eyes, and all our mashayikh, but within their chest is a nur. And when a person finds or his heart starts to perceive this nur, like we see the wind blows, but we can't feel it, but we can't see it, but we can feel it on our bodies. And as a person cleanses his heart, respected elders and friends, then that heart now slowly also becomes a recipient of that nur. And really when we find it, and that person gets lost in the love of Allah Ta'ala, then what to say? All the things of this world, it will just drop from our heart. We do know on the outside that such an effort is being made on the acquisition of physical or material things that we're not getting anyway. Really, we have come what we call to find the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ultimately, as the programs are carrying on, it is really just a little bit of guidance for each and every one of us so that we can become recipients of this nur. And really, if a person just sits with their heart or tunnel or desire, opening a person's heart, and Hazrat Mawlana gives me one more example, he always gives us a beautiful example. MashaAllah, the previous ulama have mentioned that to come in with a niyat, to get this nur of Allah Ta'ala, a person must come with an empty glass. Some years ago, we were in the bath of Allah in Zambia, and there was no petrol. So every person actually who came to the garage, they couldn't go anywhere with the cars until they filled petrol. So the cars were actually going around the block like in an S shape. It was continuously going round and round. But if we see that this person who came without petrol, he couldn't move until his tank was filled. So even if a person had petrol at home, a person is full of iman. But if that person who came to the filling station with an empty tank, and now he came to the garage, there's no way he's going to go home unless he fills his tank. So likewise, when we come into the gatherings of the pious, the awliya of Allah Ta'ala, those people who Allah Ta'ala has placed his muhabbat, his qurb, those people who are the awliya, his siddiqeen, the true lovers of Allah Ta'ala, we should come with an empty glass, we should come with an empty tank, let's flatten it out, and listen with that degree, or with that heart, that inshallah we can go back with that treasure, or that which we see that Hazrat Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Alayhi in his dars, in his lessons, he used to say, in the muluk, he used to scream that we are the kings, because within the chest of Zakaria, in the chest of minds, I've got something that I will never ever be able to trade any kingdom in return for this. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq, we make the niyat inshallah for our own Islam, we make the niyat that the kayfiyat of ihsan, that may Allah Ta'ala grant us this.
But Marana had mentioned that point came to my mind. They mentioned that a BM pull up and another BM model pull up and a bicycle pull up. From here, a thought came to my mind that also Dawn Barakatum, he doesn't only teach us deen, but doesn't also teach us our dunya as well. And Hazrat also mentioned that the Mashayikh, Allah Ta'ala has given them the ability of Qur'an. Somebody needs an operation, they come to the Mashayikh. And they ask the Mashayikh, should I go for the operation? He's not the doctor, but they ask him for that Mashara. In business also they ask for Mashara. So Hazrat mentioned in the initial stages when they were building the Darul Uloom, so they went for operation. So when they went for operation, they came to a certain doctor's surgery. So ultimately he had a very, very flashy car, very beautiful surgery, good house he got, so they said, here we'll get something. So we went in, and as I said, when we listened to his story, we said the money that we collected rather we gave this entry to the doctor. He was so much in need. He said when we came out from there, we went next door. And there was a little supermarket, a little grocery store in those days. Perhaps didn't have proper lighting, proper shelving, etc. like today. He said when we went there, he gave us so much that we didn't expect him also to give us so much. So here Hazrat says that Allah Ta'ala has kept so much of barakah in earning, in going, in running the business, etc. All the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, Ta'ala Dawud alayhi wasalam, he also be amal yadi, that with his own hands he should earn. Ta'ala Zakaria alayhi wasalam, the Java, Zakaria alayhi wasalam, was the carpenter. So here Hazrat, when people ask Mashallah, how many times Hazrat says that make our children ulama. And then on one occasion during the Khanqa, so it was the month of Ramadan after Isha Salah, and Hazrat needed some water. So he took the one brother was there, so he took the water glass and he passed it to somebody else. So this person took the water. So Hazrat thereafter he remarked and he said that each person should take it upon himself, that this is my share, and I must make the khidmat of my share. And thereafter he quoted Hazrat Mawlana Abraham al-Haqsa rahmatullahi. He said the father of Hazrat Mawlana Abraham al-Haqsa rahmatullahi had quite a few sons. But from his sons, one son, Hazrat Mawlana Abraham al-Haqsa rahmatullahi, he made him an alim of him. He says whenever the father wanted anything, he wanted a glass of water, Hazrat Mawlana Abraham al-Haqsa rahmatullahi, he would run. And he'll bring the water and he'll give it to the father. So then Hazrat Mawlana Abraham al-Haqsa rahmatullahi's father said that I wish I made every son of mine an alim of him. And Hazrat said, if a person can't make his son an alim of him, then get him into business. But he said, what power did I put him into some profession? Make him a doctor, make him a lawyer. He says, yes, you put them into that profession. Very, very high salary, 50,000, 60,000 they earn in a month. But he says, the government also knows very well how to drain it back from them in taxes. So he says, Allah Ta'ala has kept that brother in business. Inshallah, next we will call upon one as well, the size of Maulana Ishram Sangha and also Khalifa of Hazrat Dawud Barakatuh.
Thank you.
لا نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أذكر الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء مع من أحب. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: الرجل على دين خليلي فلينظر أحدكم من يخالف. Welcome by the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially with my ikram, brothers and elders. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise, all gratitude is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed us with the gift of Iman. All praise and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His karam, through His infinite mercy, and through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us in this masjid, and this is no ordinary gathering. Something we should visualize, something that we should ponder about. As was mentioned yesterday, that around these gatherings, hafat alayhim al malaika, that the angels come around such gatherings. And they go towards the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a gathering, that nobody is deprived in this gathering. This is a gathering where the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes incumbent on the people of this gathering. وَجَبَتْ مُحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيهَا وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيهَا وَالْمُتَجَارِسِينَ فِيهَا. Allah's love upon us. What a great favor, what a great ni'mat. It is as though, well, it is a gathering, like a gathering of Jannah. The lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sitting to the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a mubarak gathering. In the gathering, whilst we are sitting, let us not deprive ourselves. Let us take the opportunity of making dua whilst we are sitting in this gathering. There are many, many intentions that a person can make. And this is a gathering of Islah. So a very, very noble and great intention we should make is that we are sitting in this gathering, whatever we have heard, we have made amal, we have come to reform ourselves. Those actions that we have always wanted to remove from ourselves, that we never could get the himmat, the courage to remove from ourselves, those pledges that we had made to ourselves, those promises that we made to ourselves, that we will change, I'll remove this quality, I'll bring this quality. This is the time to make dua and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask Him to make this easy for us. So the first intention that we have come to for our Islam, for our reformation, that we have come to meet the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we have come to take lesson, and that we are going to be sitting in the company of the ulama al-ikram, we are going to be, that in itself is such a very, very, very great virtue as we have heard last night as well, that when Mufti Shafi Sahib was a bit doubtful about the statement that was written, that a person sitting in the company of the Ayatollah is better than 100 years of Nafi Ibadat. And then we asked Malak Shafi Tamir Ahmadullahi with regards to it, Malak Shafi Tamir Ahmadullahi made an addition and said that I would say he's better than 100,000 years of Ibadat. And what was the reason? So, a person has no guarantee that those 100 years of nafil ibadah that a person has done, whether it was done to show, etc., no guarantee. But by coming in the company of the Ahlullah, learning about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerity will come. And certain, the way by which to draw the love and attraction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be attained. And
as I learned in my younger days, that those students who are becoming Gopal of Hiram, if they pass away before the completion, then the completion of the Hiram Inshallah will be done in the Bhagavad. We have Kevin Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise him amongst Gopal of Hiram. We have come here for our Islam, for our information, to learn about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this quest and journey of ours, if our mood comes, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us among his lovers. Very famous is the incident of, as Hazrat had mentioned initially, that every person, every saint has a history and every sinner has a bright future. Many months ago, we went on a trip in the ocean. So there was the skipper of the ship or the boat, and with him there was another person who studied Hibs. But many years has passed, and the outward shakl of him was not visible on him. So as we were speaking, I had mentioned to him that what Hazrat Ghulam Nabi Sahib had mentioned. And when I mentioned to him that Hazrat says, because he was studying in madrasa, no matter what, but in his heart, the yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was still there, the desire to change. And when I mentioned to him that Hazrat said that every sinner, every saint has a past and every sinner has a bright future, these words had brought so much of joy and happiness to him, and he was so ecstatic that he brought the skipper who was a non-Muslim and he said, listen to these words. Here we are, many occasions I've heard from my friends that said to us that the words of wisdom that Hazrat gives us in few words, capsules of high doses of multivitamins for us. And I found that Hazrat's words are few, but the meanings of Hazrat's speech is very, very vast. Also, with regards to taking benefit from Hazrat, in the words of Hazrat Hakim, Hazrat Shafi Muhammad Abdul Sahib, Hazrat Hakim Sahib mentioned to the people of the gathering when Hazrat was in Karachi addressing a gathering, that do not be deceived by the simplicity of this person. So this gathering that we are sitting in, there may be different types. There may be those who have come for the first time. There may be those who have come for the first time. It's an opportunity to learn from Hazrat. Those who have been in gatherings, it is a muzakara. And those who are who have been much longer, it is a means of refreshment. As we had done when Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to come, that our coming over here has not been on our own will. We have not come because I wanted to come. Ye padam uttenehi uthaya jate. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us to this gathering. May aya nahi hu bulaya gaya hu. May aya nahi hu laya gaya hu. Muhabbat lekar tarpaya gaya hu. If you must look around, look at all these lovers, mashallah. Lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what a beautiful sight. So, in this gathering, when the discourses are taking place, it will be important for us to open up the ears of our hearts. If a person is sitting, as Hazrat Muhammad Amin Sahib says, you can be under the Niagara Falls or the Victoria Falls, where from a kilometer away the splashes of the water will affect a person. But if you are right at the falls, but if your glass is turned upside down, then nothing will fill up. But under a dripping tap, if a person keeps his glass the right side up, then in a short space of time, the glass will be full of water. So it's important that we open up the ears of our hearts, and we open our hearts to what has been said with the intention of making amal. And how do we benefit from the chef? Very simple. One of the many things that a person can do is look at those who are around the chef. Look and learn from them and imitate those actions by which they earn the respect and the love of the chef. This is very, very important. A person who gets the love of the chef, it will be very, very easy for him to benefit from the chef. And Hazrat also says that do not look at the end of the chef's life. Now, as Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah used to say, that when jab mum mein daant the aur pet mein aanch the, so when we were speaking of in the young age of the Buzurgani Deen and Hazrat Sheikh Sahib, when there was teeth in the mouth and there was appetite in the stomach, then we were eating dal and roti. But now after the spirit of sacrifice in Mujahada and Hazrat's life also, the MashaAllah, Rashid Bhai MashaAllah is compiling this book, Surah to Dances with regards to Hazrat's diet, then it gives us an indication of the sacrifice which Hazrat has given. Now we see Hazrat is sitting Then you want to visit Han people making paper, people are bringing food. But Hazrat also says, and Hazrat Shaykh used to say, that do not look at the end leg of the Shaykh, look at the beginning leg and take lessons from these sacrifices. Hazrat also says, with regards to just a few points, with regards to the importance of time, Hazrat mentioned there was sometimes when you have a gathering and a person is delayed by 1 minute and there are 100 people, a person shouldn't consider that he has lost 1 minute of time. 1 minute and 100 people is 100 minutes of time lost. So make that the last time. One of the salient features of Hazrat is that Hazrat, what we can take from Hazrat is to learn the Mizaj of iman. Hazrat is an encompassment and embodiment of various mashayikh over a prolonged period of time and of ulama of the yukar. That is why if a person studies the life of Hazrat, a person will see the complete Mizaj of iman. The very, very easy way is to spend time in the company of Hazrat, and this is what the talk is really about. That how we convert knowledge of deen that we have into amal. Very, very simple. Convert the knowledge into amal. By personal experience, we know that a person should try to eat with 3 fingers as far as possible. For a prolonged period of time, I used to try, it was difficult. And Allah SWT again told me that last year I was sitting with Hazrat and I noticed Hazrat eating with 3 fingers. So the first attempt I made to try and eat it was a little difficult, it was rice. But I still had that intention. And the second meal I was sitting with Hazrat and Hazrat was eating with 3 fingers. And Allah SWT just made it such day after I started eating with 3 fingers. So I phoned Hazrat to the burden of your company. And this for many years we have tried, but being in the company of Hazrat and experiencing and seeing Hazrat doing it, Allah SWT made it such that this sunnah had come alive. So in this particular way, there are many, many benefits of sitting in the company. Before taking bear, one of the asatis had mentioned to me, because I had different conceptions, I was always questioning on this angle and that angle, so I used to say that, you know, to take bear the sunnah, but maybe start it first, there's no real need to put your hand in the hand of the sheikh, etc. And this is the way it is. But one of my asatis explained to me, he said that one is you have a hen and you get little chicks. So one is the hen's own chicks and one is the chicks of other hens. But if you, so the direct attention that the hen will give to its own chick is different. And this I found directly benefited, I directly benefited from this advice of my asatis. Then one of the things that Hazrat greatly stresses, which you also speak about, we say, you know what, we always want to do something, we want to rectify ourselves, but we cannot rectify ourselves. So here also Hazrat very, very positive. Hazrat's thinking also, lot of himmat. Hazrat always emphasizes on himmat. So once when Marhum Qadi Ismail Sahib Ahmadali had come home, so Hazrat Qadi Sahib asked me that you didn't do Qiraat. And so I said that, you know, if I had to do Qiraat, then I'll just put a bad name onto your reputation, you know, like a black spot. So everyone me, don't you know? In the Kitab also they use this as a reason, as an excuse, but it's not a justifiable excuse. So he also, Hazrat also teaches that when it comes to deen, we mustn't be a himmat pure. That we always tend to find some excuses, fakir, good actually. When you go in jihad, then you don't say, you know, I'm Mr. Humble, I came to fight, but sir, if you allow me, I'll touch on him. No, we don't say that. We put up a very flag, we pull our shoulders out, we even make a beard big also. So when it comes to efforts of deen also, you shouldn't say, I'm incapable. Allah SWT has given everybody capabilities, and capabilities everybody has. We need to pull up our socks, pull up our himmat, and Allah SWT has given himmat to everybody. So each one, and as more we need, everybody has capability. All we need to do is use it as a place. This one is my certificate, otherwise I would not have been here. I would be making excuses. Hazrat mentioned a few reasons why those who are in this, people do not benefit. One is the askar that have been given to us, it should be done with love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ashikana and walihana. With great love and muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's one aspect. And the second aspect is to itila, to inform the sheikh of your various conditions. And inshallah, by doing these two things, very, very speedily a person will be able to attain his objectives. Very famously and very simply Hazrat explains to us that if a person wants to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat says that mithai, mithai, mithai wajasa. You want mithai? You go to a person who sells mithai. Kapra wala, kapra mithai, kapra wajasa. If you want clothing, you go to a clothing shop. So, Allah mithai, Allah wajasa. You want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find him as Allah wajasa. So, we make sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gathered us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an opportunity to have connection with Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all to benefit from the Quran, from the discourse of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us on the day of Qiyamah as He has united us here today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the errors that have committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all afiyat wa rahmah, the best of deen, the best of dunya and akhirah, inshaAllah. When I was in translating one of the bayans of one of the Hafiz, Maki Sahib, in the Sangha Masjid, one of the Hafiz Sahib explained very beautifully and easily the reality of the heart and the importance of the cleanliness of the heart, which Mawlana Salim Angina had spoken about earlier. That Nabi alayhi salam had mentioned that if the heart is correct, you have a spiritual heart and you have a physical heart. The physical heart, with its under difficulty, you need to go to doctors, have a checkup, put a stint, etc. The spiritual heart is very, very similar. The example they have given, that if the heart is clean, the similitude is like a clean glass. The glass is clean, it's washed, it's shining. Now you put, Ramzan is coming, you put some sherbet in over there, you put in ice over there, you put in a mint also, then it looks very nice, and it's tasty, it's palatable. But the very same glass, if it is dirty, and inside the glass there are sticks full of dirt and the finger marks. Is it palatable? Will the person want to drink from it? No, we don't want to drink from it. So the cleanliness of our heart is really, really similar. We need to clean our hearts by the zikr of Allah, by removing the akhlaq al zikr. And inshallah, by doing that, we will find that our lives will change. And Hazrat has taught us also. And the proof is in following the teaching of Hazrat. Many, many of Hazrat's murids would bear testimony and attest to the fact that by following the advice of the Hazrat, a person's deen, not only previously deen was, we were performing on namaz was difficult, we were just doing out the ritual, but here namaz becomes easy, a person's spiritual life increases, there's pleasure in salah, there's the relationship between one's family members increases, there's love, there's muhabbat, deen becomes a pleasure. And this is what is the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we enjoy our life in deen, in the world as well, and in the afterlife as well. There are four actions that Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to emphasize upon, and Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say that if these four actions that a person does, then inshallah he gives, it's a guarantee that inshallah he will pass away from iman. The first point Hazrat Hakim Sahib used to say was to keep a shari beer. To keep a shari then beer, that is one first then from all four sides. Now here Hazrat Maulana Misab has taught us and practically demonstrates that Shama and the first then should be your first and not your 3-year-old baby system. So he says from four sides. That is here, one. So if you longer than your first then. As Hazrat Maulana Misab had mentioned yesterday, that if a person is trimming his beard, even if the beard is long, but if it's less than a first then, and if he trims it, then the guna is equal as long as shape and shame it completely. The second thing as the Hazrat used to say was that to try to keep the trousers above the ankles. Here also, because I'm not going into the details, but in the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned, Ma asfala min al-ta'amin min al-ta'amin. Whatever is below the ankles will be the fire of the guna. Number three, to keep the eyes under control. That if whatever is haram, the person to look now for a moment, and even to look at young boys who do not have beards, who beard haven't come out, to look at them as well, with glass, this is completely haram, this is completely forbidden. Here, Hazrat Maulani Sahib also explains to us in a very, very light way that this is one of the benefits of coming to the company of Ahlullah, that we will learn how to control our eyes. minute, and the person says, "It's very, very difficult for me to control my eyes. I cannot do it." So come into the company of Hezbollah, inform them about your condition. They will give you prescription by which you can control yourself. Like if your vehicle is traveling and you've got a problem with your alignment. Another says you've got a problem with your alignment. The car is putting you to the right. So what you do, you take it to the fitment center, and then they will make the balancing, etc., and then you'll come back. So another says, now example, you are every day driving home, and you're turning into your driveway instead of your eyes coming onto your way, you're putting onto the neighbor's way. So you're balancing it off now. It's pulling all to the wrong side. So these are the type of, when you're in the workplace, and instead of concentrating on your work, your eyes are going to the secretary or the female colleague that are at work. So all these, keeping the eyes under control and how to bring this balancing, how do you do it? You bring it to the workshop, the spiritual workshop. Here, inshallah, with your intention and with the guidance of the Sheikh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for you to bring your eyes under control. And fourth, you should keep your heart free. Free of all hatred of mankind, animosity, looking down upon people. These four actions, if a person brings into his life, inshallah, before he will pass away with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him with his forgiveness. So these four actions that the Prophet ﷺ used to stress upon was to keep a shari beard. And in the shari beard also you have this little baby beard. So he said this little baby beard also shouldn't trim it. This also should be left. It shouldn't be trimmed. So here the Prophet ﷺ used to say that sometimes the beard is a bit naughty. It goes into the mouth. So it's curling up. So he said also, but you've got a little child, and the child is putting the finger into your mouth, you don't know what the child's hands, for nothing you take it and remove the child's hand off. So in a very similar way, the beard that is there sometimes against the stubborn, you just put a little point and turn it in the opposite direction, inshallah, it will come right. So these four actions, once again, the person should take it on. Number one, to keep a shaggy beard. Number two, to keep the trousers above the ankles. Number three, to keep one's eyes under control. Number four, to keep the heart free. And also, Hazrat places a lot of emphasis on tajweed, that is, the recitation of Quran Sharif with tajweed. And Hazrat, in the madrasa also, mashallah, we have the is a course on tajweed that takes place. But in our ages as well, the person could find the person who is proficient in the recitation of Quran, the Qarisa, and go to him and ask him for lessons to correct one's tajweed. Finally, the example of our salas, I would connect it to a cell phone. A cell phone is very, very useful to especially literature, lot of information, bayana, subject over there, communication, etc. But that's very same cell phone that has been of use to you during the day. If the battery drains down during the day, what do you do? Useless. It has to be charged. As long as there's no energy in the battery, the phone cannot do anything. But once it's connected, then it can once again be moved all that it can. We ourselves, or I myself, can we? If we remain on our own and our battery gets drained, there's not much we can do. But connect ourselves to Allah, connect ourselves to Allah, get ourselves charged up, and then we will have the charge, the potential which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will use us for the benefit of ourselves and for the benefit of mankind at large. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so free to be humble and to benefit of our Allah and the way of Allah.
Alhamdulillah, we are very, very fortunate indeed that in our words we have Hazrat Maulana Uthman Khadwasa, who is one of the senior ulama in South Africa, and Hazrat Maulana is also the Khalifa of Haji Farooq Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi. We will call upon Hazrat Maulana to knowledge us.
Assalamu alaikum.
You shouldn't say that Allah Ta'ala isko saleh banaye, but you say Allah Ta'ala isko
مزید سارے بنائے, اللہ تعالیٰ نے کہ بہت سارے ہیں. شو دیٹ از گاڈ سارے ہی نہیں, از گاڈ الحمد للہ. اینڈ دس ٹائپ آف ورڈس آف ادب جیسے ہے اندر کہ ادب ورڈ الحمد للہ اور بزرگ الدین یہ سمجھ آج آپ کی طبیعت ایسی ہے تو یہ شکر سے خراب ہے. Then we must show our sickness, express our sickness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once some people came to visit Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now Hazrat Zabarkat wa Ma'ay, Hazrat Rahmatullahi wa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explained and he said that these people came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and so that Umar radiallahu ta'ala is not well, he is sick. And in his sickness, he is saying, So those people thought that this person is now, Mir Mumin, he is sick. And then instead of making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is making, So he said to them, at this time, my zikr is I am crying to my Allah. This I am showing my Allah my sickness, my humbleness. I cannot say that I am now express that I am very good. So therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes this from a person, this type of thing. Coming to the sickness also sometimes what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, bandas. Brothers, wherever we may be, however we may be, we always need to remember that is my Allah happy with me or not? What I am doing, is my Allah happy with me or not? Am I doing the purpose must not be that I will do certain things how I want to do it. I must do it like how my Allah and my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam want me to do it. Sometimes in shock, in jazbah, a person wants to do so many things. He does not have the limitations of Sharia in front of him. Once one person comes, Hazrat Habib Badullah Rahmatullahi Khan Sharif. And when he came and sat there with Hazrat Habib Rahmatullahi and he began complaining and crying, say, Hazrat, 1 month I could not come to the Arab Sharif. 1 month I could not come to the Arab Sharif. Hazrat kept on listening to him. When he was gone, then he began explaining this to the Muridi and he told to them that ye sahab jo hai, ye abid hai, ye arif nahi hai. Ye sahab jo hai, ye abid hai, ye arif nahi hai. This man is the abid, he wants to make ibadah because of the josh and jazbah that my namaz and my reward only if I come to the Haram Sharif, I'm going to, and if I'm not going to come here, I won't get that sawab and that reward. You see, Allah ka hukam ab ye hai. Allah ta'ala's hukam is this now that you are not well. You are sick. Now, what is the hukam? What is the command of Sharia now? Command of Sharia is that you must stay at home. You cannot make it at all. You are very sick. So now you must make the salah at home. If you cannot stand and make the salah, you're going to sit and make the salah. If you cannot sit and make the salah, you're going to make it with the isha. But you will make the salah, you'll please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will get the same reward like how you always used to present yourself in the Arab Sharif. So it is very, very important that you always remember that the hudud, the limitations of Sharia, Allah Ta'ala give me give us tawfiq of understanding that these are the limitations of Sharia and I have to follow Sharia according to the way, not like how
way that has been brought to me by the right Mr. Allah. At the beginning, I recited one dua or one little ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. In which you are begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us everything that is good in this dunya. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana. And Ya Allah, grant us everything that is good in the hereafter. Waqina, and save us. Waqina adhab an-nar, from the chastisement, from the punishment of the fire. For our Islam, or for my Islam, for anybody's Islam, if a person just ponders over this little ayat, he just pondered over this little dua, then inshallah ta'ala he will reach great maqams. He will understand the whole of Islam inshallah ta'ala. That is the beauty of each ayat of the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave us this great gift, this type of a dua, this type of a dua. I doubt it is in the previous scriptures also. It is, that is exclusive to you and I, to the Mu'mineen, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us everything in a nutshell. Everything has been given to us. So this dua here, Rabbana atina fid dunya, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's prescription, when does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give His personal prescription? When He wants to accept it from you. Any doctor gives you any medication, and he writes the prescription, he will be very, very, he'll be nick, or he will not be 100% sure that I give the correct prescription that this person must gain shifa from this. He must come right. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this prescription, you think there will be any doubt in what Allah ta'ala's prescription is? There will be no doubt in that. So this is the prescription that Allah ta'ala gave to you and I through Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right up to the day of Qiyamah. Right up to the day of Qiyamah. The kuffar also at the time of Hajj, they used to come by the Baytullah Sharif and they used to make dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya. That's all. Allah give us. And no hasana, Rabbana atina fid dunya wa ma'lahu fil akhirati min khalaq. They never use the word hasana. They said, Rabbana atina fid dunya, Allah give us in this dunya. So then everything is in the dunya. Everything for them is in the dunya. But for you and I, for the believers, everything is in the akhirat. What is in this dunya is hardly anything, is nothing. Our Allah, Rahmatullah Ali, once mentioned the story of Musa alayhi salam, saying that Musa alayhi salam was now on his way to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a mountain, the tour. On his way, he meets a man, very poor, hardly any clothing on his body. Gone thin out of hunger. He's crying to Musa alayhi salam. He said, oh Musa, you're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me in a good position, make me rich, give me. No. I have got no home, I have got no clothes, I have got no family, I have got no shelter, nothing. Musa alayhi salam said, all right. Now Musa alayhi salam goes to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Speaks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Musa alayhi salam forgot. Now when Musa alayhi salam is returning, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa alayhi salam that, oh Musa, tell me that when you went, or when you were coming to me, was there a banda of mine who told you something, who gave you a message? He said, yes, Ya Allah, I forgot about that. Another doesn't forget us.
Allah Ta'ala does not forget us.
So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said,
what did he want? What did he want? Allah Ta'ala knows everything. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is speaking to his beloved, and he wants the beloved to keep talking. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we thinking that we are making dua, and you know, long duas, and now the duas that we are making, when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, you know, what is it we are making, and I'm talking and I'm crying, and my dua is helping, etc. Hazrat Maulana Rumi Rahmatullah Ali explained, you know, he says that like a very rich person at his door, you know, one old lady comes begging. And then after that, the young woman comes. Old lady comes begging, and then a young woman comes. So what he'll do, the old lady will give us something quickly and instantly. But the young woman, he stands there and keep talking to her and make stories and things like this. You make stories. Why? Because he's getting pleasure out of this. See? Okay. He comes to the Masail of Barda. Al-Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, when he became mother, he came and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have now reached the age of Bulugh, I just become mother. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised him and told him that, oh Anas, now don't go to into the house of Bayt al-Azwajim al-Ahara. Make Barda with him. Who can be more pure than Azwajim al-Taharat? Allah. Anas radiallahu ta'ala, he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now you don't go. Like that, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, there was a slave, Hazrat Salim radiallahu ta'ala, very, very muttaqi pious, but he was a slave. And according to her, there was no partner between herself and the slave. But one day, Salim radiallahu ta'ala comes and tells her that, oh, Umul Mu'mineen, I have just received my freedom now. I am free now, I am no longer a slave. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala gave him Mubarak and gave him du'as, and immediately she put on her feet. She covered herself. Because it is not jais to show her face to a free person. That is how strict they were about. So anyway, coming back to the Musa alayhi salam, the once Musa alayhi salam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dream. When he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a dream, says, Ya Allah, Allah ta'ala asks him, what's your name? So my name is now Ahmad, my father's name is this, my grandfather's name is this, and now it's giving a long story. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no. Actually he saw Musa alayhi salam. He saw Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam asked him, what's your name? So this is what he told him, my name is Ahmad, and it's my father's name, my grandfather's name, and this, that, and all that. So Musa alayhi salam told him that I didn't ask you for everything, I'm going to ask you for your name. So he replied, he says, that you ask me only for money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you, Wa tilka bi yameenika ya Musa. What is in your hand, O Musa? So you said, Qala ya asai. Only you should have said that this is my staff. But what if you went further and you said, Ya asai, atawakkau alayha, I lean on it, wa uhushu biha ala ghanami, and I shake the knees out of the trees, and وَلْيَقِيهَا مَآلِهُ أُخْرَىٰ and I have got other hopes with it and other things. So now in this way, he made wrong talk. He made wrong talk. So, this is what he told to Musa alayhi salam. You said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person loves somebody, what he wants to keep talking. He must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our munajat, when we raise our hands and we talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't worry about the acceptance of dua. That is there. 100% inshaAllah, Mumin's dua is not welcome. Mumin's
were enough, it's accepted. But the fact that we raise our hands, and the fact that we are crying out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala gave us tawfiq to talk to Him, what more do you want than that? That is why, how Imam Abu Hanifa al-Qutbani, how Akabirin and the Sufi Quran apart, what is to give them the stamina and the strength to carry on and on and on that they used to recite Quran for the whole night? What was this? It was that intense pleasure that they should get because they knew that they are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is listening to their talk. It's the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what. Brothers, coming back to the story of Musa alayhi salam, when Musa alayhi salam said, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, Ya Allah, and they asked for that he must become rich and he must have this and that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya, O Musa, main usko thoda do ya bahut, main usko thoda do ya bahut, was I giving him little, was I giving him lot? Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, I'm asking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should I ask for difficulty? Why should I ask for difficulty? One person came to a rich person's house, very awful door he had, and at the door, now came that person, rich person just gave him 5 cents. So he came with a chopper. And now he said, what do you mean? He said, I want to break this door. So why you want to break this door? He said, now this 5 cents don't match the door. The 5 cents don't match the door. Either you match me or what you have to give me to the door, or either I break the door because that. So he gave him something more and said, so the child of somebody that is great will give you something that is great. One lady came to one Baptist, one with a small basin, small bottle, and said, I want you to fill some ghee or some honey for me. I need it very, very bad. So when she returned, he came with a big container, tiny little container of honey, and he gave it. So his friend said, you know, she only wanted a little bit, but you gave so much. So, you know, she came according to her need. I must give according to my son. She came according to her need, I was being according to myself. My Allah is the one. We go to Him according to what we want, but He gives us according to His stuff. Many a person in this world, they are, you know, rubba ashfas, you know, zikam hain. They don't have any clothes to wear, and they don't have anything with them. And they said, if they go and make anywhere, they ask for some proposal, their proposals are rejected. If they go and ask somebody for some money, nobody will give them any money. If they will go somewhere and ask for some favor, nobody will, you know, respond to them. If they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything of the dunya, Allah ta'ala will not even give them the dunya. But if they ask Allah Ta'ala for Jannah, Allah Ta'ala will give that person such a big Jannah will be sufficient to all the people of the world. Allah Ta'ala has not kept for us believers anything much in this world. We are looking in the wrong place. One person once I phoned somebody and you know, the voice message. Say, you are the right person at the wrong time. And say if you want to do that, contact number. So coming to this, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there to give us. Allah ta'ala ata is very, very great. Allah ta'ala from his side. So Musa alayhi salam now is telling Ya Allah, if you give him, give him not, why give him little bit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, your dua is accepted. I'm giving him God.
was happily back. Like was reported, you know, Bashara, that khushkabri, those who are giving khushkabri, this message to that person, that no one will see, maybe now immediately he's starting to build a great mansion and he's got everything right. He goes there and he sees a few people, and outside the house of this man, the janaza lying there. Outside the house of this man is a janaza lying there. Janaza lying there, he said, Wa Allah, Ya Allah. And it's the same person who made the dua that Allah said, this dua, I'm giving him wrong. See how Allah, you said that giving him wrong, but you gave him both. So Allah said, yes, Lord can never be in this dunya. Lord can never be in this dunya. If you are God, it is the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, comes with the riwayat, gives dunya to who he loves and to who he hates. He gives dunya to who he loves and to who he hates. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives deen to who he loves. Allah ta'ala gives deen to who he loves. That's why we come in the riwayat, may yuridillahu bi khayran yufaqqihu fi deen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to be good to some person, wants to do good to somebody, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to him the power of understanding of deen. We thinking that, oh now I have got so much of wealth, Allah ta'ala has run from me, Allah ta'ala has held my hand, Allah ta'ala has made me, somebody, very rich. Yeah, let's make shukar upon that, make shukar upon that. But the real wealth is the wealth of Iman, Islam and Deen. Remember. So in this dua of ours that we make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, for Allah in this world give me, or give us hasana. When we don't get something that is also hasana, when we deny certain things, that is also hasana. Many a time we ask, the day of Qiyamah, the person will come in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, oh my brother, you made dua for certain things. Yes, Ya Allah, I made dua for certain things. Oh my brother, you made dua. Yes, Ya Allah, I made dua. When your dua is accepted in the world, say, Allah, I didn't see anything. None of my dua is accepted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then will give him the reward of all the things that he asked for in the world and much, much more than that. See all the rewards, then now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, my beloved, everything is for you. You say, how did I say, not a single dua of mine was accepted in the world. That's the time we make Samantha said, how nice, not a single dua of mine would have been accepted in the world. So here in the Akhirah, I would have got everything more, much more than that. At the time when I really need it. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to make dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. In this world asking for what? Hasana. Hasana is something comprehensive. Nothing has been left out in this. If we don't get something, as I said, that is also hasana. We don't get something. Don't be asked, many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us. It comes regarding the deen. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the malaika that my bandhas, Ibadi or Ibadi, they are, my bandhas, my servants, they have fasted for the month of Ramadan and they have fulfilled وَخَلَوْ فَرِيْضَةِ and they have fulfilled my fars. So what my jaza'u, and what is the jaza'u of my bandhas at that time? The malaika says, Ya Allah, the jaza'u is that he will be paid his whatever in full. He must be given his jaza, his wages, his reward, he must be given his full whatever debt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, La'u jiban, I will definitely accept the dua. La'u jiban, I will accept. But as far as the worldly things are concerned, I will make nazar. I will think about it. We want something, and when we ask for something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala gives it to us. Sometimes he doesn't give it to us. He knows why he doesn't give it to us. We know the story of Saliba bin Hatim. He was
called Hamamatul Masjid, the pigeon of the masjid. It never would leave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With every salah. One day he said, Ya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take dua for me. Allah ta'ala must give me a lot of wealth and become rich. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that, oh Salafa, little bit of shukr is better than not that you don't make shukr. Little bit of shukr is not without shukr, that little bit is better. So, but Salafa insisted, he carried on his saying, he knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Zahra Da'at. No, Ya Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will never leave the masjid, I will always make sure that I am always in the masjid. And so, but he kept on promises. Then, finally he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua for me. Sometimes the shaykh, we make a certain request for our shaykh, and we tell them certain things, but they know our hand more than we know. They are like more, they know that it's not good for my holy. Once, after that I had to write a Bible for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to keep a lot of tasks there also. So, Hazrat said, don't you know, tomorrow is the day. Then I wrote to him, that he told me not, don't do that. Certain people want to make a lot of sadaqa. And Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah, they also used to, you know, say that, you know, that in order to make three shares, like how Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned in this endeavor, that one share or two packets of my, you know, my business, and one I will make sadaqa of that, and one I will use, you know, for my family and so forth for spending. So Hazrat, our Hazrat told him, don't do that, but, you know. So there are several things that were very, you know, like a Sahabi who told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make a lot of stuff, tilawat of the Quran, or make the Quran, tilawat of the full Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no. They told him, carry on doing it, and then he said, okay, one third of the Quran. That too, with a lot of reluctance, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I will take you, bring one third of the Quran. After that, in the whole day, they say, how nice if I listen to my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then I would not have to read so much of Quran also. Because I promised Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would read so much of Quran. So therefore, I told Hazrat that Hazrat, main samajhta hu ke murid ki himmat se zyada shaykh ki shafqat afzal aur aula hai. Murid ki himmat se padhkar shaykh ki shafqat jo hai, wo aula hai. So I was mentioning about Hatib, you know, he started out in Hatib. He made his dua with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that was the darbar. He raised his hand and made dua that, Ya Allah, if he is doing well. So he says, then they say that his wealth began increasing so fast, like how insects, you know, they find the insects begin increasing. His sheep and goat began, you know, increasing so much. Now he used to be five times namaz in namazid. Now he had to take all his flock out of Madina. Out of Madina. Now he used to miss his dua and ask for namaz in namazid. His flocks grew much more than that. Because his flocks grew more than that, now he had to go where? Out of right out of Madina, far away. Now it's only come for Juma. And then his flocks grew much more and he was so busy and engrossed and engaged in that that he had no time to come for Juma also. Where a person was Hamamatul Masjid, now he's gone far away from the Masjid. Allah Ta'ala, make our Hifazat. Allah Ta'ala, make our Hifazat. So then after that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked to his Hatib, you know, after he's busy, he's got, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you know, afsos, for Hatib, afsos. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his Qasid to go collect zakat. So the person who was in charge of collecting zakat wants to go to him. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you to come collect the zakat from your. You look at it, the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say, no, this looks like a tax. The command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's got so much of wealth, but he's saying, this looks like a, no, it's a system of, you know, like tax. So go where you went and come back and I'll tell about it. So they go to another person's army's place. The asking for the zakat, that person gave more than what. So this is not the reason to throw us, just to collect what is due to us. Came back to help him and say, give us. So he looked at it, he said, no, I'll think about it. He didn't give it. I said, no, this is a tax. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, afsos about Abdin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat, وَمِنُ مَنَا أَعْبَدَ اللَّهَ لَيْنَ عَدَّنَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَسَّدَّقَنَّا وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. That if Allah ta'ala gives us through His fadl, then we will give a lot of sadaqah and charity and everything. But everything is not for everybody. Whichever position especially. Yes, but when it comes to Ma'amla of Deen, we must always try to excel. Try and excel. But when it comes to dunya, through the right means, work hard, but don't give us, don't cry about that. Don't cry about that. And what is very, very important for us brothers in this time, in this zamana, is its sohbat of our companionship of who? Of the salihin, of our pious people who are in the earth. And especially try and feel our mashayikh. Especially if you love our mashayikh as much as possible, it's an opportunity and chance we get. Only later on we realize that, no, if only I had given use of that chance that I would have been with my mashayikh. Our Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say, for a man, it only took off any way, they know that. For a man, it's only do aadmi ki sohbat, do sohbat. Ek to apne peer ki sohbat, usse mohabbat, uski sohbat, dusre apne biwi ki sohbat. Second is the wife. No third person. Yeah, that doesn't mean that you don't meet anybody and all that. But we meet, we come friends with everybody. But our focus must be with our he is the one that inshallah that this Sohbat Salihin is such a great that turns a person, even an ordinary person,
you know, like I said, like when he came to you.
Then when this person goes to another, he goes there, he sees the Lord saying, not to go around somewhere. He was very tired because of hot summer's day, he's getting his rest here on the couch. So those movies of Lao Sen, they were putting fan when he fell off to sleep. Lao Sen comes, say, this person came from Shara, Abdullah Aziz, his Khadim, and came to debate with you. If they got anybody, it was their way that anybody came into their cult, then they would prepare some food, you know, out of happiness. Then one more came, you know, one more came. And they so called it Pakwan, the something that is cooked. Now, Dao Sen comes and sees sleeping. Immediately began exercising while he's sleeping. And put his spell on him. And carried on. The moment he woke up, he said, Huzur, Miyaka Gulam Abda Khan. Miyaka Gulam Abda Khan. And before he could wake up, Kitab Hussain is telling his chelas, the one that is with him, that Pakwan Chadam. You see, after he saw him, I have to come here, I have to ask him, but he did not even talk to you. They say, Pakwan Chadam. Ye apna ho gaya hai. So, after that, when he woke up, so this is what happened. So, the Shabbat Aziz Dhamma, he said, I cried out. So, brothers, this can happen to us. This we must not be self-confident. Today we find there's a lot of fitna around us. All kinds of fitnas. Hold on. Hold on. So our Mashayikh, our Uzurbaan Udeen, Allah Ta'ala has given them Basira. Allah Ta'ala has given to them the insight, not just the sight Allah Ta'ala has given to them, the insight. Whether we understand, we don't understand, there is a lot of fitnas, especially the fitna of modernism. Of modernism, trying to understand Islam, not through the Imams. Whereas, even the Ghayr Muqallideen, they also, you know, they hold in the finger of Abdullah in a high esteem. He also, he says that without following any of the Imams, you'll go astray. He himself said that too. But this is what is happening today, brothers, that we need to make sure that Prophet is coming. Otherwise, if we go into anybody that is wrong, there is fitna of the Rawafis, there is fitna of, you know, various types of fitnas. So we need to be very, very guided and be careful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all these fitnas, and inshallah, Allah will be a small kafir. But we see one thing was the matter. Make ourselves salih. Make ourselves salih and pious. Work towards that, inshallah. What will happen? What of the effect of a person's piety? Inna Allah yadfa'u bi rajulil Muslim. Bisalih al-Muslim. No, the word is Inna Allah yadfa'u bisalih al-Muslim. Bi'adda ahle bayti min zirani al-bala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the piety of one pious person, Allah Ta'ala will protect 100 of his neighborhood. 100 of his neighborhood because of his piety. Today we cry that there is so much of pious and this and that. If we are going to be pious ourselves, make this intention how to become pious, then inshallah Ta'ala, through my piety, Allah Ta'ala will save 100 of my neighbors from every type of fitna and from, you know, from all types. So inshallah Ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save us and protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq to make amal, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever was said, whatever is wrong has been said, it's not here from the shaitan, and whatever has been right, it is nothing but the du'as of Amai, Mashayikh, and the tawfiq of Mawlana Zuhmeet Sahib, Dama Barakatuh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a long life in Afiyat, Always remember, I'm going to tell you one thing about Afiyat, inshallah ta'ala. There was one person in Durban, some of the people call him on Afiyat. His name, whenever they say Afiyat, I said, no, change his name, say Afiyat. Keep his name, Afiyat, not Afiyat. One person, one Muslim, his name Bhagavata, Swarupa, Bhagavati, Allah. Morning, evening, I must get my rosy, I must get my food, much area, Suvasha, I'm not even there. Yeah, Allah, 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 maybe my father. After a few days, you see, the police came and caught him, took him away, denying the prison. After a few days, he says, yeah, I'm getting my morning, evening, I'm getting my daily bread. मैंने तो दुआ की थी सुबह शाम रोटी के लिए, लेकिन मैंने कहा दुआ की थी कि जेल खाने में मिले वेरी टाइम दुआ दे रहा हूँ अभी दुआ रहा था अल्लाह सुभान व तआला इंस्पायर्ड मैंने छोटी खास थी तो तुमने कहा ये दुआ की थी कि अल्लाह ताला आपको आखिर के साथ अदा करना वेरी टू मेक दुआ दे रहा था आखिर سل الله العافية إن تسربنا آتنا في الدنيا بالعافية إن تسربنا آتنا في الدنيا عافية الله تعالى يسعد وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين